Good morning, everyone. I love to be here today to declare again that the Lord is one and that He gives us all things that we need not to perish. And that's the topic I'd like to talk a little bit about. There's eternal perishing that is to those that are not chosen before the world began, and there are those that God has chosen will not perish eternally. But we as God's children can perish in time. And the perishing in time, I believe, is talked about in many situations in the Bible. And that's why I love the stories of the Bible, where it tells a little bit about all of the things that we'd probably not want, if we were those people, to know. And some tremendous sins that caused lots of pain and death in time. And so therefore, we have these examples to help us to see that we have a choice to make. Should we perish in time? We don't have to worry about our eternal home, but there are some choices, like I said, in time. There's a woman in the Bible that I love the story of, and it's Rahab. And she's called Rahab the harlot. And she was in Jericho prior to the Jewish people coming to take that city, which God is the one that won the victory and tore down the walls. But she had in her heart that there was something about these people that were about to take that city. And she had a choice to make. And she didn't perish. And I love the fact that she acted on that. Because we can have faith all day long, but if we don't act on it, what good is it? And the Bible says it works without faith is dead. Our faith without works is dead. And so we have to act on what we know. And so she did. And so this perishing in her life was a question: do I believe in God? And she, do I believe in the God of the Jewish people? And she acted. And when the Caleb and Joshua came, and she hid them, and she asked that her family and herself be saved, and God did save her. And so she protected them. And then when it came time for that city to fall, she was saved and her whole house. And she was listed. Isn't it wonderful that she was listed in the lineage of Jesus Christ? Through Boaz, who took her in as a kinsman redeemer, which is a picture of Jesus Christ too. This woman, who was supposedly a harlot, I don't think she maintained that position, because her whole life was changed. She was a blessed woman because she had believed in God, and she did not perish. So we need to think about that in time for ourselves. There's some verses, and I'll just read Hebrews 11:31. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. You know, there were 12 spies. Two, Joshua and Caleb, believed that God would take the land and give it to them, but 10 did not, and they perished. So here we have 10 Jewish people who were to be spies in the land to go and seek out whether or not this land could be taken, and they believed not, and they perished. But Rahab didn't, and she was in the city that the very first city that was taken by the Jewish people after passing the Jordan River. In Joshua 6:25, it says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwelled in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." In James 2:24, again it says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." In Matthew 1:5, it says, "And Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab." It says Rachab, which means Rahab. "And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." Think about that. Had she not believed and perished, what would she have been in this lineage? One decision, isn't that amazing? So many years prior led to her being listed in the lineage of Jesus Christ and in the hallmark of faith in Hebrews 11. So all of us have a decision to make at various times in our life. I think that one of the biggest decisions that I personally made was in 1980 when I was first introduced that how God saves his people. I was raised in a world that believed that you had to do something to get saved. You had to say something. You had to say the right words, the right prayers. And I tried doing that as a young person at 5 years old. And every 4 years, I'd walk an aisle and say, "Well, I need to be saved." And I was taught that I had to do something to get something. And that was perishing. That's a time perishing. It is not something that is good, because it's a lie. God is the one who saves his people from their sins. He has our eternal perishing taken care of, but we have a time salvation that has to be chosen, like Rahab. In 2 Peter 2:1-3, it says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." In this world today, we have many religions that preach perishing doctrines of men, and it will not affect your eternal destiny. God has that under control. He has you in his hands, but it will make a mess in your life if you trust and believe what men say that you got to do. Okay, so in the case of Rahab, she believed in God. She acted on it. And so in 1980, when I was presented with the truth, graduated from Ole Miss and went to Oklahoma City in 1980 when it was over 100 degrees for 2 months straight. And I thought I'd died and gone to hell. Be honest with you, it was not the place I wanted to go. But I had prayed for years that the Lord would show me when I was saved, because I keep doing this thing over and over. I've been baptized 6 times and I just couldn't get it right. I had never heard the truth of how God saves his people on his own. I was in a building with 16,000 civilians working overhauling jet engines and aircraft, and my job as an engineer was to improve the technology of that facility. And I had a perishing going on in my soul that says, "I don't know if I'm saved." And there was a man that was introduced to me in this building, huge building, a mile long by a quarter mile wide, huge facility for jet aircraft and engines, and he introduced himself to me, and I knew right off the bat that this man knew God, and he was a godly man. And I opened up to him. I said, "Bill, I don't know when I was saved." And he looked at me and he said, "Michael, it doesn't matter, and you'll never know." It's like a light goes on in my head, and I'm thinking, that sounds like the truth. I have not understanding what he's really saying, but it spoke to me. And then we spent 2.5 years talking about that. Every day we almost met and talked. And this was an old Baptist, primitive Baptist preacher who worked in the world, who shared with someone who was desperate to understand about eternal life. The beautiful thing about it, that's not the right question. When I was saved is not the question. how I was saved is. Isn't it wonderful that God can honor the intent of your heart and answer a better question? Because if he hadn't answered that question in my heart, and I would have, say, rejected it, and I would have believed the damnable heresies of men that says that God doesn't choose us, I had a choice. I would have perished. I'd be divorced right now. My whole life would be changed. So that's 42 years ago. My whole life was changed because a person reached out and shared with me the truth about how God saves his people. And I too was saved. So that wall of Jericho came tumbling down. God took it down. God took down all the lies and all that I had been taught. And I was forever blessed and have been to this day. And I went on to fly for the military and fly for Delta Airlines. And those things don't even matter anymore. When you look back at your life, what really matters is what you believe about how God saves his people. We all have different jobs. That's just what we do. But what we believe in our heart is what's really important. So I would encourage us today to think about Rahab and how we're presented with understanding and how we need to act. By faith, I acted also, and I was baptized 15 years later. You'd ask me, well, why'd you wait 15 years? Be honest with you, I just had a lot to learn. And I was busy about going and doing my career and being a fighter pilot and all those things. And then one day it dawned on me, I need to do something that really is, that I need to act. So by faith, I heard the gospel in 1980, but I wasn't baptized in 1995. God had a plan for me to grow me up. It took me a while, but I'm here because of that man sharing with me, and then later by faith I acted and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And that baptism is not about us. It's about Jesus Christ and what he endured for 3 hours of suffering in his death, burial, and resurrection. We are baptized in Christ. Legally, we were in him. All those who's chosen before the Lamb's Book of Life, before the foundation of the world, were in Jesus Christ. Therefore, he will lose none. This isn't an offer. This is a declaration that he will save his people from his sins. I want to close with John 3, some famous passages that talk about this. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There's the eternal aspect. That's in God's hands. But then it goes on, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's eternal life. And there's everlasting life. Eternal life is in God's hands. We can't have anything to do with that. We are recipients of that eternal life. And our being here this morning, and God's children throughout the world of every race, kindred, tongue, religions, I don't care, even in the womb, God can save down to one cell baby. And that is the beauty of what we believe, is that God does the eternal. Our choice is the, what do we do with the everlasting life? What do we do now in this time? And I believe that it could be said that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gives us eternal life. But Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, gives us everlasting life. What does that mean? He lived a perfect life by faith, which worketh by love. And he exemplified for our new man what we need to do in order to not perish. So he gave us a life. You could say that there are two aspects of his life. The 3 hours of darkness that he endured from 12 to 3 when he hung on the cross is what eternally bought your eternal life. That's when he was all alone in the lake of fire, which came to him, and God the Father punished his son for all his people. So I was embraced with that. And all of us, I believe, are embraced in that, that are here today, because we have a yearning inside to know God. God puts that there. Okay? We don't put that, we can't put that there. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us in that way. But now the choices of, do we follow the 33 and a half years of his life, Jesus' life, in having everlasting life where we don't perish? And I thank God that I listened and heard back in 1980 and then later in 1995. Those 15 years that I thought about, my life had changed already. It's just a matter of being married to Jesus Christ through baptism and showing my love for him and being a part of the bride of Christ in church. But I had changed for 15 years. I no longer walked another aisle asking to be saved or in getting baptized over and over again, because I knew that my eternal life was in the hands of God. But now my choices in life deal with not perishing and having everlasting life through the life of Jesus Christ. They're both grace. Grace is eternal and it's timely, and we need both. May we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, for giving us all things that we need. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for giving us everlasting life. We ask thy blessings upon the service today, that thou would open our hearts and minds to thy glorious truth of how you save your people, and that you would help those that are considering what this understanding is, that might change their whole life so that they too will not perish in time. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all of your blessings. And we ask that blessings upon Brother Marty as he comes before us, and all those that are sick, and may they be healed, Father, in your way. In Jesus' name, amen.